I know you've been waiting a long time, but here we go. Universally now accredited as one of the most listened to online radio shows ever. I'd written a whole lot more about how wonderful I was, but when I knew, people had realised that I'm just making it up as we go along. So should we kick it off? Let's do it.
James Whale, the voice of reason on the James Whale Radio Show.
And on we go. So, hello, good afternoon, good evening, good morning, good night, whatever time you're listening to the James Whale Radio Show. Nice to have you with us. And if you are a radio station who would like to put this program out, there are many that do. And if you want to find out more about that, go to jameswhaleradio@gmail.com. And a big thumbs up to those of you listening to us via Audioboo and talentgb.com. Anybody I've forgotten, Rob?
YouTube.
Oh, yeah, YouTube. YouTubers. I like to be YouTubed, actually. It's quite a pleasing experience.
There's a lot of you on YouTube.
There's an enormous amount of me on YouTube, actually. Did you find that bit of me in the cemetery we were talking about the other day?
No, I'm still looking for that.
Oh, do, because I want to. I need a new showreel. You know what, we have these showreels of bits and pieces.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't want to, and it'll cheer people up. Me in a cemetery will actually cheer people up. Because, to be quite honest with you, it is a real dire place to live at the moment, this world, isn't it? I'm just fed up. I don't know how everybody else feels. I am fed up and depressed. I mean, it's about to kick off in the Ukraine. In Syria, they're still killing each other. We've got tensions in all other areas around the world, as far as I can see. And I'm sick of it, to be quite honest. I'm not sure what the whale can do to put it right. Let's start off with what's happening in Nigeria. Over 200 schoolgirls have been abducted, and the government don't seem to be interested. The president there sits there with his flipping hat on, moaning about how difficult it is. I mean, why on earth, and if this happened a couple of weeks ago, why haven't we done anything? I did put this out yesterday to see what you thought, and Dave the Rave Bill reckons we should be sending over as much as we can to sort the problem out. Obviously, the Americans are doing that. Bruce, hiya, Brucey, he says, all that is required for evil to succeed is for good people to do nothing. Fred Blackburn says, not our concern, enough troubles of our own. Come on, Fred, what troubles have we actually got in this country compared with the rest of it? Look at what's happening in Syria. Look at what seems to be kicking off in the Ukraine. And what half these problems, hang on, half these problems seem to be caused by people's bastardized views of religion. You know, you go and talk to a normal Christian, a normal Muslim, a normal Jew. They don't want to go around killing people. They don't want to stop people learning and making themselves better. I mean, a lot of devout religious people, and I respect you being devout, you can be a follower of any religion you want, as long as you don't consider that other people are always wrong. We're in the 21st century. I can't believe that these girls have been actually kidnapped because the people who've kidnapped them think that the education of girls is evil and something that in the eyes of God shouldn't be allowed. What sort of world do we live in? I mean, Richard Todd says, ask yourselves, if a group of school children in this country were kidnapped and held, what would the Nigerian government be doing to help us? That's not the point, really. That's not the point. We have the wherewithal to help, and we should be. And we are. We are. But what do we do? What? How can you fight against people who actually think they're going to be better off in another world? Rob, you're very quiet. Why?
I'm staying out the firing line.
I'm very angry. Very angry indeed at the moment. I mean, I don't want to make this look as if I'm bashing one religion more than another. I'm not. You go back 800 years and look at what Christians were doing in the name of their religion. You know, if you didn't behave properly, or if you said you didn't like the Pope or something like that, you got stuck on a hot spike up your bottom, didn't you? I mean, that's what happened to you. Or stretched on a rack. I mean, come on, guys. Can't we all live? Listen, whatever we believe in, can't we all live a little more humanely together? Is it too much to ask?
It's not a good
You nearly
week.
Said something, didn't you?
I was just going to say it's not a good week this week, obviously.
No, well, I'm fed up with it. I mean, Charlie Gardner says, put a tracking device inside everyone and when they're born, so in the future we can find where everyone is. Actually, that's not a bad... I thought, just changing subject for a few moments, I actually thought that by now we could have a microchip put under our skin when we're born. And you could, on the microchip, you could have everything, your blood type, your national insurance number, you could have a telephone number for life or whatever, and you wouldn't need a wallet. You know, as you built up money and reserves and stuff, it would be like a credit card. You just swipe your wrist as you went along. Now, Rob, you've got to think that's a good idea, surely.
In practice, that sounds like a very, very good idea, but I have a funny feeling it'll get abused.
How can that be abused? Why is that going to be abused?
There'll be a market for skin grafts and moving tags around and, you know, that kind of thing. Cloning. Mm.
Yeah, you're right. I suppose, you know, people, when they had fingerprint recognition, of course, some people wanted to chop your fingers off so that they could nick your... Yeah, you're probably right. But it just goes to show what a vile, horrible world we live in, doesn't it?
I'm afraid we do.
No respect for different thought processes. No respect at all. Let's finish this with Chris Jopp. He says, I think it's appalling that the Nigerian government haven't found them yet. Apparently there's a conference in Nigeria this week with loads of big companies who want to invest there. Perhaps they should refuse to invest till something is done and these poor girls are found. We ought really to put the value of life before the value of business and money, shouldn't we?
Nigeria's famous for all their scams and stuff. Isn't it about time Nigeria got their act together?
Well, you know, let's hope that we can all eventually end up in a better place than we are at the moment. I am depressed about this. You need to cheer me up. You're listening to the James Whale Radio Show online and on your favourite radio station. OK, well, let's change the subject for a moment and hope that the world will realise before it is too long. Mind you, I'm thinking of talking about something entertaining, and then I'm thinking of the subject is probably related to something that's not as entertaining. But anyway, let's try. There are stories about a new movie of Dad's Army, still very popular. 35 years ago they made The Last Dad's Army. It is still getting huge ratings. I thought I'd be quite good as Captain Mannering. What do you think, Rob?
They don't like it up 'em.
No, that was Corporal Pike or something, wasn't it? Yeah.
Clive Dunn.
Clive Dunn, that's right, yeah. Granddad, do you want to sing the song?
Granddad! I don't know the rest of it.
No, let's not bother with you singing the song. That sounds awful.
Okay.
Then I figured, I've got a friend, actually, who had a connection to Granddad, who had a... I've got a friend who had a connection to Dad's Army. Let's get him on the programme, shall we?
Why not?
All right, let's find Mr. Peter Perry. Mr. Perry, are you there?
I am indeed. Hello, James.
Now, Peter, tell everybody who your father was.
Well, my late father was, in fact, Edward Sinclair, who played the Verger, the sidekick of the Vicar.
The man with the duster.
As Peter Perry, but that's simply because the family stage name is Sinclair. And the other name we use is Perry. So my dad was known as an actor as Edward Sinclair.
So I should be calling you Peter Sinclair, should I?
Well, you could do. Peter Sinclair Perry is my full name. So I don't mind either way, really. Peter will do, or Pete, whichever you prefer.
What are your first thoughts, Pete, anyway, about a movie without the original characters, of course, because I think Private Pike is the only surviving, and the Vicar, strangely enough, are the only surviving characters, aren't they?
That's right. I mean, it is a strange thing for me because, obviously, I've been watching Dad's Army now for 35 years or more since they last made the very last episode, and obviously it's become synonymous with all those individual characters that were in it. However, it was interesting last Sunday, I think it was Sunday, I heard an interview on the radio with Jimmy Perry, no relation I might say, but Jimmy Perry, one of the co-writers of the program with David Croft. And in the interview, he did say that, interestingly, over the years, the program has retained its popularity, not just with older people like myself, but across the whole section of the community, youngsters alike. And it's been one of the very few family comedy programs that has stood the test of time. And even now, apparently, in this day and age of hundreds and hundreds of TV channels that we can all tune into, they run the repeats on BBC Two very often on a Saturday evening, and it still gets something like 2 million viewers, which is a colossal number for the knowledge I have of TV viewing figures. It's only really the likes of something along the lines of The Voice and Strictly Come Dancing and The X Factor, which are on at the same time, which do get big audiences. But there are very, very few other programs on any of the channels anywhere that get the same figures as Dad's Army. So for that reason, I think, well, why not? You can't make it with the original cast, but if there's still a fantastic interest there, why not make a new one?
Who would you actually cast, apart from me, obviously, as Captain Mannering?
Well, I think a difficult question to ask me, because I'm not in that role. However, I think the indication is that already they seem to have cited Bill Nighy as Sergeant Wilson. Sergeant Wilson, who was played by John Lemessurier, was a wonderful character, rather laconic, public school, laid-back character. And whilst they clearly don't want the same to try and replicate every character, Bill Nighy has got that similar laconic air, and I think he'd make a marvellous Sergeant Wilson. I think your suggestion, much as I love you, James, your suggestion of being Captain Mannering, I'm not quite sure whether that would really quite work.
No, all right. Well, we'll do a little improv now. I'm Captain Mannering, and you can play the Verger, your late father, if you want. We'll see. This will be my audition piece, all right?
Right.
Okay, so it's a completely impromptu. What did they call the Verger? I should know what you... I mean,
well,
just
Mr.
the Verger.
Yateman, but he was either called Mr. Yateman or Verger.
Yeah, okay. Ah, right. Verger, come in here now. What are you skulking about outside for?
Well, Mr. Mannering, I think the thing is... you've got to be remember that the RP warden is actually up to no good at the moment, and so what we have to do is to try and work something out, all right?
Yes, I knew he was up to no good. I absolutely felt he was up to no good. Now, Mr. Yateman, it'll go down on your record well if you report to me anything that he's up to that I can use to get him out of here.
All right, I'll do that, but don't tell the vicar what I'm doing, though, because he won't like that. All right? We'll keep it just between us.
I think that's a very good idea. Mr. Yateman, thank you very much indeed. Off you go.
Well, maybe you could play Captain Mannering, then.
I think that was quite good, actually. I think we should do a whole scene later.
Yeah.
Listen, Peter, tell me this. When Dad's Army first started, there was quite a lot of controversy about making light of a very serious situation, i.e. the Second World War, wasn't there? People didn't think a comedy was the right way to do it.
No, that's right. I think that was often the case, but once again, I think it rather came back. I don't know if you have seen some of the programmes that have been on over the last year, but there was a very interesting, they did a docudrama about one of the, I can't remember the battalion, but one of the battalions in the First World War who became synonymous with printing a sort of magazine for the people in the trenches. And it was making a mockery of everything that was going on and poking fun at their own army superior officers, and it became almost an historic document about what happened during the war in the trenches. And in much the same way, after the Second World War, I think it was deemed perfectly acceptable to make fun of what happened. But one of the great aspects of Dad's Army was, whilst they were poking fun, the thing that came through as a very strong theme and was probably synonymous with his success, whilst there was lots of buffoonery and idiotic activities going on, at the end of the programme, we always won through. It was the British bulldog spirit that we always managed to win through, and so nobody was going to get us, and certainly not the Germans. So, and I think achieving that end result through fun and laughter was really key to the whole programme's success.
And do you think, I mean, would this be a movie, do you think, that would have appeal in the cinema, or do you think it would be a movie that would go straight to DVD?
No, I actually think it would appeal to a cinema audience. I think the new, because it has always attracted an audience of all ages, it would and the youngsters seem to be the ones that still go to the cinema, it would appeal to an audience there. And because when you've got stars like Bill Nighy, who clearly is of interest to a very wide audience, I think it would work well in the cinema.
All right, brilliant. Let's talk about us now, because that's far more important. I'll tell you how I met Peter. Where did we meet, actually? Where was it? Because it was in the late 60s we met, wasn't it?
When I left school, I was in the acting profession for a number of years, and we actually met in the makeup department of the BBC on a very early episode of Doctor Who. And we were both being made up, believe it or not, as monsters. And such was the detail and horror of our characters, we had to be in that makeup department for several hours to get us to the point that they could put the cameras in front of us. And so we just got chatting. There was the two of us there, and we seemed to have struck up a friendship which has remained strong ever since.
I remember the thing most about those days is that we used to spend most of the time in the canteen eating.
That's right. And it was very good food in those days, but it was not so easy to get service when you were dressed and made up as a monster, because it was difficult to find a mouth to put the food in, but we managed.
And then later I went into radio, and you went on to do other things outside acting. And then eventually you asked me to get you into radio, which I did, but on a sort of sales side.
When I decided to change direction, I was in the marketing, sales and management side of radio, and was in that for well over 20 years, and thoroughly enjoyed it. It was a great business. So we both retained our interest in radio, from a different side of the fence. And of course, you're still well and truly in it.
Yeah. Well, who knows? In the future, we might well and truly be in a new movie. I can see. I'm getting the feel of the Mannering part, because you know he had all the power, didn't he? Really, and he told everybody what to do. That seems to be my raison d'être in life.
Well, you never know.
Peter, thanks very much indeed. Have a good day. Thanks for talking to us.
Great talking to you, James. Bye.
My thanks to Peter Perry, and who knows, I think that audition in there went quite well, Rob. Do you think there's a possibility or not?
Well, with a bit of editing, you know, I might be able to make you sound better.
What do you mean with a bit of editing you might be able to make me sound better? I don't think that... I'll tell you what you could do in the background. You could put some sort of effects, you know. I don't know, machine gun fire and sirens or something like that. Or maybe not. I don't know. Anyway, time for an advert. How would you like a free audio book? Well, listen, you can have a free audio book if you go to my website, jameswhaleradio.co.uk. Do it while I'm talking to you. Do it while you're listening to the program. Click on the Audible link. You see it right there on the front page. Audible. Click on the Audible link and follow the links. You've got to register. If you are a member of Amazon, you are already registered, so you don't need to. So if you click on that and register, you are then entitled to a free audio book. And if you, after the free month that you get, I think, isn't it? Yep. You don't have to carry on. So you get the book for keeps. You get the audio book. Now, there are loads of audio books from anybody you can think of, including me. You can download my autobiography, Almost a Celebrity, but you don't have to. You can download any book you want. You get an audio book for free. And remember, the summer holiday is just around the corner. Great to have on a journey. You can listen to it while you're driving. So go to the website, jameswellradio.co.uk, download the Audible link. That's all you've got to do. That's all you have to do. I think that's right, isn't it?
That's perfectly right. Yep, that's perfect.
Now, talking about books, we gave a copy of my autobiography away last week. If you shared the link, many of you shared the link. And who's the winner?
The winner this week is, drum roll while I turn the page, Richard Wilson.
Why aren't you on the page?
Because the page with the Audible link is on a different page. No, it's not.
Oh, right, okay.
No, I tell a lie. It's on the same page.
Right. See, I work off computers now. I'm completely paperless. This is a paperless program.
Oh, well, I didn't get that memo and I've got it printed.
You're the producer. You sent the bloody memo out. What are you talking about?
Well, I sent you it electronically, but I printed it myself.
So should we do another competition this week or not?
Would you like to do a competition? You always like to.
I think we should. Yeah, because I've got a garage full of my books, so I need to get rid of some of them. Right. Not signed. You won't win a signed one. You can buy a signed one in our shop, jameswellradioshow.co.uk/shop. Thank you. And whilst you're doing that, by the way, the T-shirts and the baseball caps with the whale logo are doing remarkably well.
They are?
Remarkably well. Yeah. Yeah, very good. Very good indeed. I think time for music now.
Who have we got?
Well, our friends at talentgb.com, who of course are now providing us with music for the show, have got a track from Sedley. All right?
Mm-hmm.
Sedley, it's quite interesting. Actually, I quite like this. The next track is inspired by the story of a wayward Berlin teenager, Christine F., who gets herself tangled up in drugs and prostitution. So with that in your mind, have a listen to this. The track is called Bahnhof Zoo.
See the girl on the corner, you know the one I mean, yeah. Talking to the man with a briefcase, acting like he don't want to be seen. Now the street is empty, only shadows and the wind. Stick around just a little bit longer and she'll come back again. Watch yourself now, changes her name with her makeup. Ain't got no fix to dress. If you've got what the lady needs, the chances are the girl will say yes. She's 16 going on 35. No time for school in the college of life. With her children, nobody wants to know. She's one of the children trying to make it on her own. When the sun goes down, she'll be going. Listen now, see the boy in the t-shirt, sitting there in the sun. Come a little closer, people, I'd like to show you what he's done. Tried real hard, but he never got it right. Now he's stoned all day, hurting all night. With the children, nobody wants to know. He's just one of the children, trying to make it on his own. Yeah. When the sun goes down, he'll be going home. just as children. Suddenly, suddenly it's one of your own. Oh yeah. Don't give a damn what your neighbors say, 'cause they don't wanna help, they only wanna know. Everybody keeps talking, trying to find someone to blame. I call it for political discussion, but the burden stays the same. When you're 16 going on 35, counting the days to the end of your life, you tried real hard but you never got it right. Now you're stoned all day, running all night with children nobody wants to know.
So that's a track from Sedley called Bahnhof Zoo from the EP of the same name, performed with Sedley's characteristic clarity and emotion. And if you want to find out more, of course, go to talentgb.com. Talentgb.com are now supplying all the music and entertainment for the James Whale radio show. And if you think you are somebody that would like to appear on the program, if you go to them, you can find out how you can get on the program. Remember, talentgb.com.
You are listening to James and Rob on the James Whale radio show.
Right, okay, there we are, Rob. I'm going to go back to something pretty nasty now.
Right.
Have you heard about the Sultan of Brunei?
I know he's very, 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 very rich.
Well, he is very, 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 very rich. He's worth an estimated 20 billion quid.
Well, that's not a lot, really, is it?
Isn't it?
Well, not compared
he
to
lives,
other people.
Not compared with who?
Bill Gates and people like him.
Has he got more than... Bill Gates has got more than the Sultan of Brunei.
Yeah, I think so. God.
Yeah, right. Okay, well, the Sultan of Brunei, and I bet Bill Gates doesn't live in an 1,800-room palace, the world's largest private residence.
No, I think he has an island, though.
Does he?
Mm.
Yeah. Well, the Sultan of Brunei, of course, owns a lot of London, including the Dorchester Hotel. In fact, Dorchester, the chain. Did you know the Dorchester's now a chain all over the world?
What, there's more than one Dorchester?
There's more than one Dorchester, which, you know, I don't know, but I don't stay in the Dorchesters around the world, do you?
I don't stay in hotels regularly, no.
No, I know, because you don't go on holiday because you're too tight.
That's not the reason.
What's the reason you don't go on holiday?
I don't like going outside.
No, well, you don't like going outside. As we can see from pictures of you when they sometimes appear on the internet, you have a very pale and pallor complexion.
People say they like the pale collect. I'll say that again. People say they like my pale collect. I can't even say it. I'm giving up.
No, they don't like your pale collection at all. But never mind. This is not. Listen, I don't know why I'm making light of this. This is this story. I'm reading this from the Times, right? Last Saturday's Times, and this hasn't, as far as I can tell, been a major story in the news anywhere. Have you heard about the Sultan of Brunei?
I know of the Sultan. But what's happening?
No,
what's going on in the world?
Well, the Sultan of Brunei is implementing, and it goes back to the whole problem of religion, doesn't it? Is implementing religious laws in his country, in Brunei. That could result in homosexuals being stoned to death and the public flogging of women who've had abortions. The Sultan, who, as I say, is worth billions and lives in one of the, if not the biggest private residence, has unveiled the first phase of his new Sharia penal code this week, criminalizing pregnancy outside marriage. That will be a criminal offense to get pregnant outside marriage. Failure to perform Friday prayers and preaching non-Muslim religions will all also be offenses. The second phase, restoring corporal punishment, including amputation for thieves, will be implemented over the next year. And the third phase, with the most severe penalties, such as death by stoning and flogging for abortion and adultery within 2 years. Now, I don't know whether the Sultan of Brunei has gone mad. I don't know whether this is a spurious story or not. But if this story is true, and the Sultan of Brunei, which owns quite a lot of London and buys quite a lot of stuff from here, so maybe that's why we're not talking about it.
This sounds terrible.
I don't know. I just think that is appalling. Absolutely appalling. Now, lots of personalities, including Stephen Fry, Sharon Osbourne, lots of other people as well, have called for the boycotting of the Dorchester hotels around the world. Now, I think if you boycott hotels, the people who are going to suffer are those people who work in the hotels, and it's not their fault. I mean, surely the government ought to start saying to the Sultan of Brunei, we're not going to buy stuff from you. I mean, he's obviously going to go and sell us, buy stuff elsewhere, but surely we can actually bring some power to bear, or we stop having anything to do with somebody who thinks it's perfectly acceptable to stone a woman to death because she got pregnant outside marriage. Anyway, we put this out on Facebook, and some of your thoughts are, Jace says, thieves who lose their hands isn't such a bad thing. If the penalties were so severe, it was certainly lower the number of people willing to steal. Charlie Brindley says, another place that needs to be put on the UK banned list for business and leisure. Kevin Ackerman says, no, I'm not concerned because I live in Cardiff, and Wales does have its upsides. It's an interesting take on it, Kevin. Very interesting indeed. And there are, as far as we know, no plans to bring in Sharia law in Cardiff. Actually, joking aside, I think this is quite a serious situation and one that surely should be done. But you might not. If you want to get in touch during the week, you can email me, jameswhaleradio@gmail.com. D. Hancock's Peter says, so it's okay for the men to have several wives. Isn't that adultery as well as bigamy? Not if you're if you are living in Brunei, no. Stephen Addison says, the Sultan of Brunei's strict Sharia law penal code does not apply in the UK, as we have our law in the UK, and if he doesn't like it, then tough. And I don't care if he owned the whole of London. He lives in the UK, so he lives by UK laws, not his. And Dave Hughes says he's glad he's not gay. So some of your thoughts on the Sultan of Brunei. And Hayden Jones says religion scares him. And Kevlar Taxi, we haven't mentioned Kevlar Taxi, says, I hear the Sultan gets stoned too often. Well, I just wonder if there is any validity in that story at all, why it hasn't made more headlines. But there we are. You're listening to the James Whale Radio Show online and on your favourite radio station. And now, while you're digesting whether or not Sharia law would be a good thing to bring into this country, because I've got that horrible feeling that some of you probably like to see it brought in here, our friends at Love Film, of course, are going to give away a month's free films. All you have to do to get a month's worth of free movies. How many movies can you... We worked this out the other day, didn't we?
A few hundred.
How many movies could you watch in a month? A few hundred.
Mm.
How many could you watch a day? Three?
Three, yeah. You get bored after three, I would imagine.
Yeah, I think three movies a day. So that's 21 movies a week. That's 2, 4, 6, about 100 movies. You can download 100 movies. Well, if you click on the Love Film banner, okay, jameswhaleradio.co.uk, go there. Click on the Love Film banner and register for a free trial. You can watch a load of films, as many as you can cram in the month, absolutely free. So what have you got to lose? Register. And that helps keep this program going, doesn't it?
It does, and there's lots of good films on Love Film.
There are some amazing films on Love Film. I don't think there are any films... there might be films I've been in on Love Film.
Hey, I bought a copy of Cold and Dark.
Did you?
I did, I bought...
Where'd you get that from?
Amazon, £1.30.
£1.30?
Yeah.
So you got a picture of me on the cover?
You're in the trailer.
Yeah, I'm good in the trailer, don't you think?
As in the trailer, as in what you see on the film footage on the trailer, not in a trailer waiting to be...
That's what I meant, you daft sod.
Okay.
In in the trailer of the movie. I'm good in the trailer of the movie.
Yes, I think that's all you're in, to be fair.
I'm in the whole movie.
Are you?
Have you not watched it yet?
No, I've never seen it.
Well, you bought it. Why would I be in the trailer if I'm not in the movie?
Well, normally they put the best bits in the trailer, so I'm imagining the bit that's in the trailer is the only bit that you're in the film.
Oh, that's bonkers. Absolutely bonkers. I'm in a lot of the movie.
Are you?
Cold and Dark. Go and get it and have a look. £1.50 on Amazon.
£1.30.
All right, okay. Hey, we could give that... When you've watched it, we could give it away as a prize.
I'll send it down to you to be signed.
All right. I haven't actually... I've watched it three times. It was made about 6-7 years ago, and I still don't understand it.
Well, I don't either. I haven't seen it yet, so I'll do a film review next week.
That's a good idea. Right, let's have some music. I do love Queen. Freddie Mercury, I thought, was one of the best performers. So our friends at talentgb.com now providing us with music for the show. To get on the show, you've got to go to talentgb.com and speak to them. And if you want to hire any of the people you hear on the program, or if you want to see more of them, as I say, go to talentgb.com. Though Bohemians, they are, of course, a Queen tribute band. They're currently on a nationwide tour and appearing on Friday, May the 9th at the Rhodes Theatre in Bishop Stortford, Hertfordshire, on Saturday, May the 10th at the Thamesmead Theatre, Grays in Essex. On Sunday, May the 11th, they are at the Princess Theatre, Hunstanton in Norfolk. And for details of all their tour dates, check out the Bohemians on talentgb.com. Of course, if you're listening to this program a week or so after it was made, or maybe even further, you may have missed them. But check out talentgb.com. Look for the Bohemians. You can see their videos there and find out where they're playing. Here they are playing live with a track called The Show Must Go On.
The show must go on. Spaces while we're living.
Right, OK. Now, there's something else I think I should talk about. Jeremy Clarkson.
Ooh.
There's been an... Yeah, I know. Ooh. There's been a lot of controversy about Jeremy Clarkson and the nursery rhyme, hasn't there?
The ip, dip, dob, is it?
That's it. That's it. That's don't do any more. And I've got my thoughts on that. We did put out on Facebook, should he stay or should he go? Well, he's not going to go. Jeremy Clarkson, as I understand it, he owns the format of Top Gear.
He does?
And it's sold around the world. And if the BBC were to get rid of Jeremy Clarkson, he'd just go and do the show elsewhere. Now, two things. I don't know Jeremy Clarkson. I think I've interviewed him once or twice. But I love Top Gear, not because I'm a car nut, because I like the interaction between the guys who present it. And it is a bit naughty and it is a bit politically incorrect. But I think when Jeremy Clarkson did the Eeny Meeny nursery rhyme, I think, and this is what I think, and I'll read some of your thoughts in a moment, I think he did make a mistake. And I think he understands he made a mistake. I think he understands that he made a mistake, because I don't believe he's racist, but I think that he has overstepped the mark. I think he understands he's overstepped the mark. And I'll tell you why I think it's unacceptable, because when we were young, as I said, we wouldn't have thought anything of using that, and we wouldn't have realized the connotations. Because if we realize the connotations of not just the N-word, which people get... quite rightly, really, it is very offensive. And if you read your history books about slavery, you'll understand why it's offensive. And if you actually understand that that poem comes out of slavery, where people stood around deciding on which human being they wanted to buy, you can understand why it upsets so many people, quite rightly so. And I think, like a lot of older people, Jeremy Clarkson had misunderstood and thought, well, you know, it's all a bit of harm, and it'd be get upset, and I won't use the word anyway. And even friends of mine said, oh, well, I think we're all getting a bit het up about nothing. It's, you know, as long as you don't use that word. And I think that's wrong. I think, actually, it is wrong to say things that we used to do. You know, it was acceptable. The Church of England, for goodness sake, thought it was acceptable to have slaves. We wouldn't think it's acceptable to do that. Now, there was a huge furore of public opinion against, I think it was in Devon or was it in Cornwall, where a town that had a festival every year called Darkie Day. And this 10 years ago, and they were told that it was not acceptable anymore. Oh, we've always done it. It's part of our heritage. It isn't acceptable. Ring of roses, a pocket full of posies. That actually comes from the Black Death. And there's history in all these little rhymes. And if you understand them, if you know where they've come from, and if you can, with that knowledge, then you wouldn't use them. And I think Jeremy Clarkson was not wanting to be racist, not wanting to be hurtful in any way at all. And I'm sure he won't use that poem again. You may disagree with me, and I can see some of you there shaking your heads in disagreement at the moment. Rob, tell them how to get in touch.
Email us, jameswhaleradio@gmail.com, or put a comment on James's Facebook page.
Yeah, you can tweet me if you want as well. But I think once you understand that Eeny Meeny is a poem... was a poem used to demonstrate how you would choose who you would want to buy as a slave, you would realise how offensive it really is. Now, I'm pretty sure if we were to sit down, Lenny Henry one side of me, Jeremy Clarkson the other side, I'm sure we'd all get on. I'm sure everybody would get on. But I think people have to understand what is at the root cause of this. So, you know, no, he doesn't deserve to be sacked. He was never going to be sacked. He shouldn't have been sacked. It may be because certain newspapers have got a thing about Jeremy Clarkson or the BBC or whatever, that this has been blown up out of all proportion. But now it's out there. Let's talk about it. Would you actually say this poem, this nursery rhyme to your children now, you know what the connotations of it are? I don't think most intelligent, right-thinking people would. So what happened on Facebook? Let me tell you. Colin Richardson said he should be Prime Minister. I think that's going slightly too far, Colin, to be honest with you. Richard says he should stay. Certain sections of the media and society in general are determined to shoehorn us into a mindset where we can't even breathe without the fear of upsetting someone. Well, I think, Richard, now I've explained to you, you wouldn't want to use that nursery rhyme anyway, would you? Joanne Oliver says, I'm not sure. Perhaps it's time he was retired. His racial Tourette's seems to be getting worse. I think, Joanne, that's very unfair. Angela Mary Stone says he should go. He's a racist. Well, he most certainly isn't, Angela. I don't think at all. Terry Ingram says he might be a bit of a loudmouth and an un-PC person at times, but a witch hunt isn't fair. My wife is a nurse and almost daily is racially abused by patients, yet they seem to get away with it. Interesting point, Terry. Thank you. Trevor Smith says, stay. We all say silly things and wouldn't lose our jobs. Why should he? Russ Kane. Ah, hi, Russ. Says Top Gear belongs to his production company with May and Hammond. If the BBC fire him, he will merely go to another channel and set up shop. He totally should stay. And James Adams says, go. For what reason? Whatever he did or didn't say wasn't even broadcast, so how was any offence caused to anyone? Very good point, James. And I wonder if the person who actually leaked that particular take to the media has been sacked. And I wonder whether we should start talking about who actually leaked that piece of material to the media. What should happen to them? Because somebody somewhere knows who it is. I think we should find out who it is, don't you? Ed Taylor says, I agree with virtually nothing that Jeremy Clarkson says or does, but I wouldn't want to be without him. He makes me laugh at him as much as with him, and it wouldn't be the same without him. I don't find him offensive, just funny. Ava Woodgate, leave the bloke alone. Gemma Louise Sermon says, it's pathetic. It's okay for black people to say the N-word in their lyrics and sell their CDs. And Gary Elms says, don't like the guy, but he is refreshingly don't care what I say. And this is blown out of all proportion. So there's some of your thoughts. And I wonder what you think of what I've said. And after hearing my thoughts in it, would you use that nursery rhyme again? You know how to get in touch. Let me know your thoughts and we'll mention some of them maybe on next week's program. Rob, how are we doing?
We're doing fine. I think we should wrap up now.
Why? I don't want to.
All right, then. Take it away.
You won't let me. You just stop the program. You just sort of turn my microphone off and I'll just sit here talking non-stop.
Nope, my hands.
And then you'll say...
I'm going to sit on my hands. There we go.
Yeah?
Right. Go for it.
No, because I don't trust you. You'll turn it off anyway.
I promise I will not turn it off.
Really? I think I've said everything I've got to say, to be honest.
I need to use my hands.
I'll tell you what. You do. I think if anybody wants to hear certain subjects discussed on the programme, get in touch. Facebook us. Tell us what you think. And don't forget, by the way, if you want to be on the programme, then go to talentgb.com and they will tell you how you can get on the show. And with that, I wish you a very good day, wherever you are, whatever time of day it is, and tell your friends to join us here on what is becoming one of the most listened to online radio shows. So it's goodbye from me.
And au revoir from me.
Oh, really? Very French. I didn't know you were bisexual. I mean, bilingual. James Webb!
You're listening to the James Whale Radio Show. For more information, visit www.jameswhaleradio.co.uk. Why not check us out on facebook.com/JamesWhaleRadioShow or follow James on Twitter @TheJamesWhale. James Whale, the voice of reason.